our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Let's just lift
our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, you are our light, our salvation, our strength. We come to you this hour with praise and adoration. We ask that beneath of all your spirit will flow among us, that the brightness of your light will shine in us, and that the depth of your love will bring joy to our hearts. Forgive us when we fail to enter your joy, when we hold back and grumble our way through your grace and mercy. Your words tell us this is joy in the presence of angels. May the joy of angels overflow into the gathering of Lord, O Lord, even into us. May our voices sing praises of your glory and grace. All hail the power of Jesus' name, and God's people pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
as we forgive our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus came with all the wisdom, knowledge, power, and glory of heaven. He was rich beyond all comprehension. God sent him to be our kinsman and our co-signer of the new covenant. Jesus, the Son of God, became the person responsible to settle all our sin debt. He pays when we can't. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he took with him all his wisdom, knowledge, power, and glory. And humanity remained here in human weakness and brokenness. But the new covenant promise contains a very special provision to enable us to overcome our weakness. The same Holy Spirit that filled Jesus as he lived his sinless life has been sent to abide within us. God's very own Spirit is our full-time, live-in advocate, continually acting on our behalf. God's Holy Spirit abides in us just as his Spirit was within Jesus. Just listen to God's covenant promise of the Spirit found in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. Them meaning his people. My Spirit, who is on you, will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children, and on the lips of their descendants. From this time on and forever, says the Lord. Jesus sent God's Holy Spirit to guide us into truth, to show us the riches that are available from him. The Holy Spirit writes God's laws into our hearts, shows us God's will, shows us his mind. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability and the courage to overcome sin. The Holy Spirit within us is an incredible power, a wonderful teacher of truth. Jesus, in covenant agreement with his Father, he agreed that we would never be forsaken, and that we would be able to obey God's commands and live a victorious Christian life. God still remembers that covenant today. God sent Jesus to be our Redeemer. He is our co-signer of the new covenant, and he is our mediator between us and his Father. One of the kings of the nation of Judah became the king when he was only 16 years old. You may or may not know this story. It's in the Old Testament in the book of Chronicles. This king's name was Uzziah. He was a seeker after God in his early years. He became the king at age 16. Scripture tells us this, that he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Uzziah's mother was a godly woman. She taught Uzziah God's ways in his early days, in his childhood. The prophet Zechariah was also a powerful influence on Uzziah. Zechariah was a contemporary of Isaiah. So not only did Zechariah influence Uzziah, but the prophet Isaiah also knew Uzziah. Zechariah was a prophet who served the Lord faithfully his entire life, and he taught Uzziah the ways of the Lord. And Scripture tells us right there, the boy king sought God all the days of his godly teacher, Zechariah. God helped Uzziah, and he prospered. He became a prominent, powerful king. He reigned over Judah, the nation of Judah, for 52 years. He had strong moral character. He had God's word embedded in his heart. From his early years, his caring mother and the godly prophet Zechariah made sure of that. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. But something happened. After 5 decades of walking faithfully before the Lord and calling on God's name, Uzziah did something that greatly offended God. He attempted to perform one of the duties reserved only for the high priest. Verse 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Uzziah walked into the temple. He headed into the holy place to function as a self-anointed high priest. He didn't get to finish what he started. Azariah, the real high priest, and 80 other priests blocked his way. They told him in no uncertain terms, Uzziah, you're not appointed to do this. You know better. You're not from the priestly lineage God has ordained. What you are attempting to do is wrong and arrogant. You are simply not chosen to do this. Uzziah was on the edge of doing something he would later regret. If you know the story, you know that he made the wrong decision. We can only speculate as to what King Uzziah was thinking. But we do know that his anger boiled over when the high priest confronted him. I can imagine him saying, "Who are you to tell the king what to do?" He was hot, and he raged at the priests. And then something frightening happened. We read in verse 19, while he was raging at the priests in their presence, before the incense altar, in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. God rebuked King Uzziah. Uzziah recognized what was happening to him. He was led out of the temple, disgraced. God had heard enough of his words and seen enough of his arrogance. What does this story tell us today? What does it have to do with the new covenant? Should this story teach us that we can still fail God after following him for 5 decades? Or let's just say many years. After all, this is a story about a king who failed God after following God's ways for 5 decades. But there's more to the story than the king's failure to follow God's ways. Is it a story about discerning the dangers and pitfalls of wealth and power? Is that what the story is about? It's about that too, but there's more to the story. This story is meant primarily for those who have been walking obediently according to God's commands. People who always strive to do what's right in God's eyes. Because of their upright lives, they aren't under the bondage of any particular sin. They can say with Paul, "I have fought the good fight." It's a blessing to be around these kinds of people. King Uzziah was a follower of God. He had served God throughout his life. Yet the Bible tells us that his 52 years of faithful service ended in disgrace. How did such a morally strong man, someone so blessed by God for 5 decades, how did he offend God so strongly? Uzziah drew God's anger by attempting to act as his own high priest. He reasoned, "I'm as holy as the high priest. I've spent over 50 years seeking the Lord. I'm morally clean. I'm spiritually strong. There's no evil in me. Surely all my good works over the years have built up a reserve account for me with God. So I'll just go directly into the holy place and present my 50 plus years of faithfulness to God as a sacrifice. That should be holy, acceptable to God." It is very wrong to try and come into God's presence under the cover of your own good works. Yet many honest, good people set themselves up as their own high priest. It's a religious thing. They try to enter God's presence acting as if they have earned that right. It didn't work for Uzziah. It didn't work for him at all when he claimed the priesthood for himself. So let me explain a bit more about the high priesthood of Messiah Jesus. In ancient Israel, when the high priest entered the Holy of Holies, he entered with blood, which he offered for himself and then for the sins of the people, even sins they had done in ignorance. That was the way atonement for sins was made under the old covenant. Under the new covenant, Jesus is our high priest. Let's read what the author of Hebrews had to say about this. "He, Jesus, did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. And you know how I like to read these verses. By his own life offering. In verse 24 of chapter 9, for Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, not to appear for us, or now to appear for us in God's presence. Chapter 10, verse 14, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Repeatedly, the author focuses his point. Jesus is the one and only high priest. And his offering provides righteousness for all time. And to drive the point home, the author then quotes the words of the prophet Jeremiah, verses 16 through 22 of chapter 10. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts. I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Jesus, our high priest, instituted a new covenant, one in which he writes his laws in our minds. Moreover, his promises to teach us his ways, he promised to teach us his ways. He promised to enable us to have holiness. Enabled us toward holiness, I should say. His agent to do this is the Holy Spirit. These are wonderful truths. But along with these truths, the author of Hebrews then gives a powerful warning. In verses 26 through 31, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sacrificed them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This is quite the sober warning. You have freely received the knowledge of the high priesthood of Messiah Jesus. Don't make the mistake of Uzziah, the mistake Uzziah made of attempting to be your own high priest, because your offering will not be acceptable. There is no other way to God rather than outside of the offering made by Jesus. If you bypass his offering in favor of your own, you count the offering made by Jesus as unworthy. God is insulted when a person seeks to be their own high priest. Who am I to tell God that my offering is sufficient? And that the offering Jesus gave of his life is not necessary? Scripture is clear. There is no other way to the Father but through the offering, which is the death and resurrection of our Lord Messiah Jesus. We must approach God through Messiah Jesus. He is our merciful, comforting high priest, our intercessor in all our suffering, in our temptations, no matter what we are going through, no matter what temptation we face, Jesus has been there before us. He knows what you are going through. That's why you could expect mercy from him. Our loving high priest, Jesus, never holds back his forgiveness from us. What I mean to say, he is always willing, ready to pour out his mercy and grace. There's so many verses in Scripture that teach us this. Psalm 86, verse 5, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you." Psalm 103, verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy." So let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 21 this time. Consider for a moment his sad end. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and banned from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. Uzziah thought he was holy because of his many years of faithfulness. But the moment he tried to act as his own high priest, he saw his true condition. He saw that he was leprous. Similarly, when we try to bring our good works and efforts to God, the Holy Spirit causes us to realize how unworthy, how weak, how unclean we really are. The Holy Spirit helps us to see our need for a high priest to cleanse us from our sin. So thank God that Jesus is our high priest. He patiently forgives our sin, and his Holy Spirit changes us so we lose the desire to sin. It is so wonderful because Jesus supernaturally transforms your living soul. You, the individual you, is transformed. You, the living soul. The prophet Isaiah surely loved King Uzziah. Isaiah was his friend. Isaiah was his counselor. Isaiah must have been deeply saddened when he learned how King Uzziah had sinned. Most of us have read this portion of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 6. Most of us, however, didn't realize the connection that Isaiah had to King Uzziah. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Here we read how Isaiah lifted his eyes to heaven. And he declared, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Isaiah knew there was only one high priest. Isaiah knew that the high priest was not King Uzziah. in his vision, Isaiah, as he stood before God's holiness, he cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then, from this we know where his mind was. Lepers in that day covered their upper lips with a rag or a cloth, signifying their uncleanness, their uncleanliness. So when Isaiah speaks here of being a man of unclean lips, he is speaking of his own spiritual leprosy. He was speaking metaphorically. As far as holiness is concerned, Isaiah was saying, "I'm just a leper. I'm so distant from God's holiness." Isaiah saw a vast chasm between him and the holiness of God. And what did Isaiah do at this point? Did he turn to self-effort? No. Isaiah immediately humbled himself. He bowed down before the holiness he saw before him, and he simply believed. He wanted and he waited for God's forgiveness. And true to his word, God did it all. The prophet was cleansed by the work of the one who sat on the throne. Isaiah clearly saw in his vision the coming ministry of the Messiah. Isaiah clearly saw that Uzziah wasn't the only leper. We all need cleansing. Our own efforts and work will not suffice. The only power source that can help us overcome ourselves is the power of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out. This is what the new covenant is all about. In his new covenant, God effectively says to us, "My child, I know you can't do it by yourself, so I will provide for you. I know your heart is sinful, so I will give you a new heart. And I know you lack the self-control and strength to please me, so I will cause you to do my good pleasure. I will take out your heart of stone and give you a tender, compassionate heart. I will send my Spirit to you. My Holy Spirit will teach you everything. When my Spirit comes to reside within you, my commands will be written on your heart and in your mind. And from then on, my word will be with you night and day. I will do all this for you, if only you will give yourself to me and commit yourself to be transformed by my Holy Spirit power." This is the power of God. It's not our power. When you believed in the saving mercy and grace offered by Messiah Jesus, all his mercy and grace was activated within you by the Holy Spirit. And we have a Savior in glory, even today, who is touched by our feelings and by our needs. Right? He looks in our hearts. He knows our pain, our brokenness, how we hurt. He also shares in our joy, our celebrations. He's living with us. This training ground we call planet Earth, these lives that we live. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to work within you to provide complete deliverance from the power and bondage of sin. All that is needed on your part is your step of faith and your commitment to give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Amen. Hallelujah.
Far above.